Hey, it's a brand new Shift and Stare, and we're coming at you with all kinds of cool stuff. We're going to talk about Aaron and I went up to the Peterson Museum for the grand opening of the James Hetfield exhibit, and it was called Reclaimed Rust, right? Wasn't it? Yeah. We'll tell you about that. Matt's going to tell you all about driving the Toyota Supra.
Yes. And I checked out the new McLaren Elva.
Yeah, that one that sweeps the air around you.
It does. It's got really cool aero.
And everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning. Pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, G-E-I-C-O, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket. It just may be the most rewarding to-do you do today.
Steer, racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Vanjore, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
We're going to get started right now.
Yeah.
Because Aaron's not even on the mic, but we're going to put him on. Look at that. We're going to bring him up. Is that better, Aaron? Yeah, we're not hearing a thing with Aaron. Well, too bad. Oh, you know why? We had the telephone up. Because Aaron's usually on the phone.
Yeah.
Nothing, really? Wow.
Oh, hey, there's something.
Hey,
there's
I can hear
Aaron. Yeah, much better. I had the board up for the switch for the phone. I'm like going to the phone here, but...
You're a creature of habit,
yes.
Brad.
So Aaron, did you go to the exhibit with me last night? Nobody heard you.
Yeah, I went to the exhibit with you last night. Oh, I think they could hear me yelling.
Yeah. So
even at the exhibit last night.
So anyways, hey, new year getting started. First time Aaron's been in the studio with us since the first year, which is always good. Always better. You know, it's always better when everybody's here.
Absolutely. That way I can see what you guys are actually doing when we're all talking.
Yeah. Yeah. Matt's usually going... Yeah. Throwing his hands up, and
I'm switching ears on my phone, keeping the sweat away. And I got one hand on the computer, one hand on the iPad.
If you hear any barking, we have Murphy the dog in studio today. It's
Hi,
his
Murphy
first visit
the dog?
Since being brought into the clan, the Fanshawe clan, the pack.
He's been initiated.
So
he's doing private dog stuff. Right
yeah,
now.
That's he's grooming. He's grooming. What's that, Matt? You wish you could do that?
Well, he could in his 20s.
Very limber.
Yeah. Hey, 20 years ago and 20 pounds ago, maybe I could have.
Goal.
So last night at the Peterson Museum, they opened up the James Hetfield exhibit, which was called Reclaimed Rust. And it was they did a really good job up there.
They really did.
Aaron and your wife, Misha, met us up there. And Dave Merrick from Man Seeks Adventure was there. Yeah. And a couple other people went along. Mikey came along, which was good just in itself because we can never get Mike out of Orange County half the time. You know, so
I got to say my favorite part of all that is that we all had, you know, we all had the hookup. We had the VIP passes and all the badges and stuff, except Mikey.
We checked in. Yeah, it was just one of those things that we checked in at the table. And Bruce Meyer, thank you, Bruce, had arranged all the passes for us, invited us. And so we get there, and it was Mike plus one because he had his son-in-law there, and then Brad plus one because his son-in-law's friend was there. And we go up, and his buddy is a huge Metallica fan. And so he's like all excited. And he was like being the total fanboy. He's like, oh, this is going to be so cool, man. James Hetfield's going to be here. I go, yeah. I go up and I go, yeah, Brad Fanshawe. And they check me off. And the guy reaches around. He goes, here's two drink tickets for each of you. And here's your laminates. And we put our laminates on. They say VIP all access. And we start to walk away. And Billy looks over at his friend, who's Mikey's son-in-law. And he goes, dude, where'd you get that laminate? He goes, your friend gave it to me. And he goes, Mike, we don't have laminates. We just have these silver wristbands that say general admission. And I go, I don't know, man. Maybe that's the golden ticket. You never know at these things.
Yeah. And does anybody else have that silver wristband?
I didn't get a wristband. General admission?
And Billy looks at me and he goes, my experience at going to concerts and things like that with Mike is that, no, the laminate's always better. And so he goes, Mike, you go back and ask. And Mike goes, nah, Brad would be much better at that. So I go back over and I explain to him he should have had, and they were really cool about it. They did. They got him. But it was just funny because it was – and then I'll tell you another behind-the-scenes thing. So the whole reason – Billy is a drummer, and he's you know, he's got a little side band. I mean, he's actually an engineer, but, you know, for fun, he's a drummer. And so he's a big Metallica fan, and he wanted to go see, you know, this. He asked Mike, you know, if that's how we got Mike out of Orange County. What do you mean? You know? And so I had mentioned to Mike I was going, and he goes, oh, God, Billy's been driving me nuts about this. Yeah, he goes, and I go, well, why don't you come, and we'll meet up there. So we go up, and typical thing. You know, we're there. Mike knows James. Mike knows all those people. And Bruce was really gracious when he was doing the introductions and everything. At the end, he said, we understand Michael Anthony's in the house, too. And he goes, Mike, why don't you come on up, man? Come to this ribbon cutting with us. And so, you know, Mike kind of, you know, he's shy and he's kind of sitting there. And Billy's like, come on, let's go. And so we all, you know, Misha and Aaron, we all kind of go tripping around the stage.
But I blew it.
And, well, Billy, too. This is the story. It's like, first of all, Mike is always very gracious. You know, Bruce invited him up on stage. And he goes, hey, this is James's time. I'm not going to go up there.
I'm wearing shorts and flip-flops.
Yeah, no, he didn't.
Almost.
But he did say to me, he goes, man, if I knew I was going to see this many fans, I would have dressed different, you know. Because everybody was wanting to do photos with him and stuff. So we walk around the back of the stage. So we've got, you know, Aaron's there, Misha's there, and Billy and his friend, and Mike and I. I'm trying to think, who are the other guys that were there?
Well, America's with us.
Yeah, but he wasn't with us at that time. I'm talking about some other musicians. The bass player from Metallica was there, and there was somebody else there, too.
Oh, Jerry Cantrell is there.
Jerry Cantrell, yeah. So they're all there. So anyways, Bruce goes, come on, guys, we're going up, and they make an announcement. Everybody make their way up. Well, we went the back way and up the freight elevator. So as we're going through, there was like this little funnel area, and the security guys kind of grab Mike and go, come on, and they go, come on. And then what happened? You pick it up from there because we got on the freight elevator and lost you guys.
So Mike being the gracious guy, and I don't like to plow my way through things either. So I pushed Mike ahead. So I said, Mike, you go ahead, you know. You're the guy. We're just tagging along.
We're just
the arm candy guys, you know.
We're not good at that either.
No, we're not good at that. So we push Mike along, and then that's when he looks at me and goes, you can't let Mike go first because we'll get the door slammed in our face.
That was Billy saying that.
Billy said, sure enough, man, Mike goes through, we get the door slammed in our face. I'm like, oh.
It was one of those things,
he
Matt.
Was so
where
bummed.
It's a huge so freight elevator, right? And all these people, Bruce Meyer, and you know, Rick Dorn, Rick's wife, you know, Scott Williamson, and
like elevator's full,
you know, Jerry Cantrell, all these people. And so we're getting ready, and the security guy goes, stops Mike and goes, it's full. And Bruce Meyer goes, no, let them on. We made room, and everybody kind of moved back. And Mike and I jump on, and as we turn around, the doors are closing. Yeah. There's Billy and Misha in there. And the guy goes, we're sending another one down. And then when we finally made it up, Billy goes, they said they were sending one down, but then they made us take the stairs.
Yeah. And because it took us so long, everybody had already gone up the stairs, and there was no chance. We were so far back in line. By the time we got in there, the place was full. The ribbons were cut. Everything was done. James had left.
Yeah, really?
So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No joke. So.
And I can't wait to see the photos of the ribbon cutting because
– Chainsaw.
Because they had the ribbon cutting right at the entrance of the Bruce Meyer Gallery. And Rick Dorr, Bruce, Terry Kargas, and James went out to cut the ribbon, right? So they had a black drape there. And right as all the flash bulbs went off where they were cutting the ribbon, Mike goes, I wonder if Billy and those guys made it up. And he looked out the curtain. And I said, dude, you're going to be in the back of every photo with your head sticking through. And he got all nervous. He goes, oh, I hope not. Do you think so? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
I love Mikey. He's so funny.
So, it's like he's never been on stage before.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
But they did a bang-up job at the Peterson. I'm glad to see it reopened after all these years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, you haven't been there in a little while.
Seriously, the display is just stellar. It's got a live shot of James on stage, arms out, and the whole crowd. And that's what you look into, the whole right side of the display, the whole room, the whole right side is a live shot of the stage looking out to the audience. And it's just, the cars are just beautifully lit and so just
and the
epic, man.
And the party itself that they did, there were a ton of
music? That was a huge crowd.
Did he play music?
No. But there was a ton of his fans there.
Yeah.
It was unlike most Peterson events where it's a lot of car people from the industry.
To park upstairs.
And
parking lot was packed.
You could tell it was Metallica fans, man. They looked like they just came off Sunset Boulevard, and
every license plate in the parking lot said something about Metallica.
All wearing Metallica t-shirts,
yeah,
and
all dolled up.
And
how long do you think that exhibit goes for?
It's for a year.
Yeah, 1 year,
and then it's going to tour the world.
Yeah, it's going to travel. So,
oh well,
literally the world. Yeah.
If you guys want to, guys, listen, you want to see that and enjoy a nice show. March 21st.
No way.
Carcast Live.
Really? That's right.
Come to the Carcast Live event, and tickets will be available soon.
Now, I want to know, is the Carcast Live event going to have the rooftop bar open like this one with open bars and tons of food?
So it all comes down to...
Wow.
It all comes down to how many people show up. I will buy you sliders if you show up, Brad.
Okay.
And Aaron, I will get sliders and Diet Coke.
Nice.
I don't drink soda anymore.
You don't?
No.
Good.
This is about as far as I go right here.
No, but you have a coffee that looks like a milkshake, ice cream.
That's the first one because I have to keep up with you guys.
Well, that's a 3,000-calorie coffee you're drinking right there.
Yep, I'm feeling it, too,
but no,
I haven't had caffeine in a while.
I'm with you, though, dude. I'm not drinking Diet Coke anymore either.
Yeah, I stopped drinking sodas. I had an MRI. I had a bunch of stuff, and, you know, I don't have to make some changes, but it would be smart, too.
Yeah.
I'm 50 in a couple weeks. And
I'm not drinking it any less, but
the doctor's
not
like, you don't have to make changes. It's just a matter of how long you want to live for. That's it.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, I know you hurt. You know, there's a way around that.
Yeah,
you still have gout.
What's turning 50 like?
Brad did it when
that's
everything
right,
was black
Brad,
and white.
I was going to say, it's been a while for you, hasn't it?
Been a year now, almost a year, February 27th.
Yeah, right, sure. Right. We're both fellow fish.
Yeah.
That's right. So, now what I didn't make it to, because I wanted to try and do this thing where I come up to L.A., go to this other event, and then just kind of scoot down. But couldn't get Mikey out of the house early enough to make both events. So
you knew that was coming.
I know. I tried. But Matt did. He was there with his eyeballs and saw that new McLaren Elva.
Yeah, so my eyeballs and I went to an event.
They look nicely polished, by the
thank
way.
Thank you. Yeah. McLaren unveiled their new, it's exclusive supercar roadster called the Elva. And there's some history behind the name. They partnered with this group called Elva to make some racing cars back in the day. I believe that's what it was. And that's kind of where they came up with this name. But it was an interesting event because they had an early evening was sort of the press event. And then as we're there, they're like, oh, no, don't touch the drinks. Don't grab the beers.
That's
don't
for our high.
Yeah, they go
high
because as soon as you leave, all like the owners show up and the valet parkers fire up and the models all come from downstairs and they're all up there walking around with slippers on and they're like, so you guys do the preview event and then the real event is later with all like the food and the drinks. I was like, that's all right. I made reservations for sushi after this. Give me some Toro. Yeah. But the Elva is.
Yes, they did specify that it was a hard 5:30 out event.
They did. Yeah, yes. They did. They're like, thanks for coming. See you later. Although they brought us up, it was at a house in Beverly Hills, and this kind of stuff, I don't know what it is other parts of the country, but out here,
A lot of times, event companies and stuff will partner with different real estate companies and go, hey, man, I'm just going through your listings. I see you got a house for sale. Why don't we co-produce an event there? You get some promotion. You get
a lot of rich people come. Maybe one of them will buy it.
This house is in Beverly Hills, up in the hills. Gorgeous view. 12,500 square feet, $39 million, infinity pool overlooking.
It better have an infinity pool. Yeah.
But how big was the garage?
The garage was four cars, but it was
not worth.
But with a courtyard, with a courtyard, you could probably put 40 cars in if you wanted to.
But
it was a finished garage. Finished. it had like a gloss black tile. The roof was finished. The garage doors were black, and the backside of it was partially glass. It had a little bit of a Ferris Bueller's kind of effect to it.
So it had a launch window.
Yeah, right. So the whole place was amazing. Oh, it had a dinosaur in the living room.
Of course, it did for $38 million.
And the dinosaur bones, they're like, it's for sale with or without the house. It's an additional $1.6 million.
Oh, it was a real dinosaur.
And it's 60% real.
Wow. Oh, Mike 60%.
Mike Brewer was there, and he's like, I'm going to bust one of those teeth out because I'm going to grab one of those dino teeth. And he's like, for $1.6 million, I goes, I could probably get 10 grand for that tooth. I go, I don't know if the tooth's real or not. He's like, who cares?
You do it, and that'd be the one part that wasn't. It was part of the 40% that wasn't real.
No, it's 60% real because nobody wants a one-legged dinosaur.
Right? So that was kind of cool.
A bunch of teeth missing.
Well, I would have asked, okay, do you mean that it's all authentic skeleton? It's just missing the guts and the skin and everything
right? Yeah, right? Yeah.
I don't know about that. What percentage is the bone?
The venue was great. The place was fantastic. The cars that they used to just truck you up and down the hill, you valet park at the bottom, and everything was just...
Were Jeep Rubicons?
No, they were. I wish they were because I could have just drove myself. But everything was like Rolls Royce and Bentley and Cullinan and Ghost and Phantom and all that stuff.
The Brit stuff. Any Range Rovers? Oh no, they're because
and it's really
now.
And it's really. But I thought it was a little tacky the way you told me they made you all wear red jackets like you were valets as you were leaving, so the new people coming in wouldn't think that.
I don't know why they gave me a stack of tickets and I was like, I don't know what this is for, but. I hope we get some tips.
Matt grabbed himself a car on the way out. He went, hey, sir, can I park that for you?
And those are a bunch of get-the-fuck-out tickets.
they had a few McLarens. They had like the 650 LT or 675, 650 LT, a 720S, I think a 570, one of each. They had their sports cars, the supercars, and – or whatever their ultimate series, and then the
parked in
car.
The four car garage.
No, outside in the courtyard area
next
to the dinosaur, and they had a gorgeous Senna, like an all carbon, kind of raw satin carbon Senna. So the Elva
Shmi sent his Senna out. Yeah.
The Elva is based off of the Senna, and the guy's like, oh, it's based off of the Senna, which we saw for sale at Barrett Jackson and RM. He goes, but we did the aerodynamics differently. We can get more air into the engine, which means we can get a higher level of boost out of it. So it is 804 horsepower.
Whoa.
It's the 4-liter twin turbo V8.
And it's a roadster, right?
And it's a roadster. There's no top on it at all. They're only going to make 249 of them. It's $1.69 million. The 0-60 is under 3 seconds. It's only in a roadster. Very, very innovative. The material for the seats is made out of
dinosaur hide.
It's only 60% dinosaur.
Yes.
some kind of new ultra leather. It's a synthetic leather, but it's a high end. Version, sort of the way Alcantara is actually better than suede. Now we're like, oh, it's Alcantara, and it becomes an exclusive luxury thing. So the interior was done that way. Some of the controls, like for sport mode and stuff, are all on like a steering wheel gauge pod, and the whole thing moves together.
So if you move the steering wheel around, it takes the gauges with
they're
it.
They're bringing so they're some always, F1 into
yeah, so
it.
It's,
yeah,
and everything always feels like it's good view. So even, you know, if you move the seat or you move the whatever on the steering wheel, you get to see it.
So if you're a tall dude or a short dude, you're going to get a good view.
So it's pretty interesting. So there's – imagine, you know, you see a lot of the cars that have sort of a heat extractor on the hood. And what we've seen a lot of is air goes in through the front grill and then out through that grill on
yeah,
the hood.
Yeah, it extracts
right?
it right out through there, yep.
The way it's shaped, it goes in the grill and it goes out the hood and actually shoots forward of the car again. So
it's like a wave machine.
Yeah, so it kind of goes up like that. And then once the air kicks it again, it blows it over the
right
the
down
top.
Into the motor?
So when you're driving, you don't actually get wind. So there's no windscreen or anything on it. No windshield, no windscreen.
There's not.
But it creates a windscreen out of wind, right?
Oh.
And then, so as you're moving, I'm sure at 20
these
miles
engineers.
An hour, it's fine. Yeah. So as you're moving, it starts to create this wind sort of wall, you know, and then the way it flows over the vehicle, the air flows over the vehicle, and when it hits the rear of the vehicle, it hits right where the intakes are for the engine.
So it sucks it all in.
So it sucks it all in for the cooling. And
so it's actually probably being rammed in more.
Yeah,
like
it
a
is.
Supercharger. It's
it,
a natural
it almost,
supercharger.
And it kind of creates like a high-pressure area yeah. for that. So it's really...
Wow. But what's the minimum speed that functions? Is it a high speed?
I don't know. They didn't get into it too much. Oh, and it's fully active aero. So once the air goes through the grill and it comes out that hood area, there's like a speed brake, like a wall that comes up at different speeds, and it could go up to 18 inches or 13 inches or something like that. It goes up pretty tall.
Wow.
So I think at a low speed, it probably comes up higher to deflect air mm-hmm. over you. And then at higher speeds, it can go down. Really cool stuff.
Wow,
and then the flow goes through these like top of the front fenders kind of ducts, and they need to get to the engine. So they enter those ducts, they go through the doors and into the compartment, because kind of like the 720S is, they're saying, hey, why do we got to have big scoops on the side of the car? You know, like a lot of Ferrari, Lamborghini.
Because they look yeah. cool.
And they're like, we can hide them in the doors and give it more of a curve to it. Yeah. And it gives it a weird kind of cool shape to it.
It is an interesting looking car. It's funny because I saw Mike Brewer had done a post this morning.
Yeah.
And I believe he called it a virtual windshield. He goes, it has a virtual windshield.
Yes, yes.
I didn't understand that. Now I do.
You know, that does pose some real interesting issues, though.
Huh.
You guys realize what it is, right?
Go for it, Brad.
Well, when the commercials or the videos of the car come online,
yeah.
you cannot have a model driving with her hair flowing and things
yeah,
like
yeah.
that.
You're going to have the whole little fan in front of her.
You're going to have this model, and she's going to be going, my hair looks really
mouth.
Flat. And they're going to go, that's right.
Yeah.
That's the way it's got to be.
That's it. Just like, that's not real. She's doing 90 miles an hour. Her hair is not moving around
yeah.
at all.
Well, now, but is that going to work in America with the regulations? Because I didn't know
there were any car hair regulations.
On my 57 Triumph Roadster, I don't have winches. I have little Brooklyn Aero screens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've been stopped several times. And he said, as long as you're wearing, like, safety glasses or goggles, he goes, I'm not going to bug you. I said, but the windshields are actually, you know, they're
I don't know.
Are you kidding?
Like,
bug you?
Yeah, exactly.
I get it.
I was hoping you'd get that. But I think you have to have some sort of windscreen in California, don't you?
I can't say for sure, but anybody who gets this car and is driving this car, one, a cop looking at it should go, eh.
Yeah.
and two, what do? You'd be like, I don't know what to tell you, man. I just went to the dealer. I gave them the money. They gave me the car.
It came this
like,
way.
Yeah, it yeah, came it this came way. Like, this what way. Do you, like, how is this
yeah.
my problem?
Yeah, well, I was just curious. So my next correction was, are they going to be in the U.S.?
Yes.
Then they got it worked out. It's no longer an issue.
Now it will be in the U.S.
It comes
and then,
with goggles.
Look, maybe they're like, the U.S. spec has a giant bumper in the front and a little windshield.
Yeah, yeah, really. Wouldn't that be great? And it's got a big, ugly windshield.
And huge side
up.
Mirrors. Yeah. And, you know,
removable
like,
removable with
car pads. Or what they do is when you get the car, they hand you the keys and goggles.
Yeah.
Yeah,
look,
exactly.
I know, like, for you guys nitpicking the photos, I put photos on Instagram, and when you look at the photo and you look at the exhaust, you're like, oh, that's cool. There must be some sort of weird flap because the exhausts are, like,
closed off on the inside. No, this is a prototype. The engine's not even hooked up.
Yeah.
So they don't want you dropping pennies down there or anything like that. So it was full, like, it, this is not a running car.
Or
that
dinosaur
I saw.
Teeth or
yeah.
something.
Yeah. When you open the door and there's like, there's a carbon fiber like grill for the floor. It's a sticker, right? Because they're like, that's what it's going to happen. But right now, this is just the concept.
Wait a minute. All their money, they couldn't print a 3D carbon fiber.
Yeah, right? No.
Sorry, I thought this was a little more finished car. Here.
So, no. Now here's the question.
It wasn't quite as finished yet.
Now, this was the first showing of it. Now it goes to Paris.
What a cool idea.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's the first world showing will be in Paris. So,
and they're going to do some more with it this year. And there's going to be two more debuts of vehicles this year that they weren't allowed to tell us about yet. They've got it's amazing how they can make so many variations of the cars and do these types of events and be like a good, solid, profitable company. And they're like we're doubling sales year after year, like doubling whatever we did last year, we're doubling it this year. And I go, great. How many cars did you sell last year? He's like, 1,700. And I was like,
wow.
Okay.
We sold 1,700 of those.
Yeah. And I was like, how? In eight years, you've worked your way up to 1,700. But you got to think about, like, these million-dollar, $1.6, $1.8 million, you're paying so much for exclusivity. It's a cool car, and I get it. Like, there's an audience for it.
They are cool cars, man.
But there's just so much margin in them, because how do you build a company?
It's exactly like other luxury products, like the watch industry, like the the luxury bags, makeup, anything like that. There's always a lot of markup in them. One, because research and development, and you're selling a small amount. You can't go for lots.
I'd be curious to see their business model too.
The financial end of it is, all these car companies that we see, Lamborghini, does quite a few. Ferrari does a few. Aston Martin, for sure. You do all of these special edition versions of the car, and you spice it up a little bit here and there. You don't have to reinvent all your investment into the crash testing and all this other stuff. This car,
yeah, you don't have to have like bulletproof glass and
no, you don't
have to crash test, because there's plenty of people out there doing it.
Yeah, right. Like, yeah,
someone else just crashed.
But when
McLaren,
they say, "Hey, this isn't a ground up car. We have a platform that we know works and we like. We have the Senna. What can we build on top of the Senna? Well, do we do a Senna Roadster, or do we do something that's more of a departure on the aerodynamics and stuff?
Well, and they bring back Elva, which is from their racing heritage, and it means a lot. So it's,
yeah, you're right. With a car like this, though, you ask them, like, why make 249? They're like, it seemed like a right number based on our customers and the profits and whatever. I'm like, or does it have something to do with those crash test ratings and things like that? I remember talking to the guys at Fisker years ago, when Fisker was first coming out, Henrik Fisker's electric car, not the, all the brands have been sold off and the assets sold
now,
off and there's whatever.
Karma.
Right. But Fisker is another thing that's still out there. Right. So the Fisker electric car that came out years ago, I was talking to the guys. I'm like, yeah, you got these solar panels on the roof, and what does it do? And he's like, well, the solar panels can theoretically charge the car, but in 8 hours you get 1 mile. He goes, but really it has to do with, like powering air conditioning and things like that. It'll kind of cool the car, or like lower the windows or whatever.
Circulates the car.
I was like, why not just do a sunroof, moonroof, like every other car company? And he straight up told me, he goes, because it would cost $5 million in crash testing minimum.
Yeah.
Minimum. $5 million to crash test that car with the sunroof versus one without. You got to do it all over again.
Wow.
And I was like, he's like, solar panels are the way to go. I was like, yeah, just do that. So, yeah, maybe there is some amount of Senna versus Elva Roadster. Do they crash test it, or is there?
Or do you just do it limited production?
Is it like, hey, if you make 250 or more, you have to do this. Yeah. But they're like, 249, 249 seems like
the
round number.
That's a very interesting fact. There's got to be a lot of those situations, too.
Now, they didn't say that for sure, but it feels a little bit like that. But by the way, that's a smart move. now you have a car that's exclusive. You can make enough to make enough money, and you can keep the number small enough that you can keep it exclusive and probably avoid some huge government fees.
Right. You can take money and put it into developing the next car rather than put it into crash testing.
Yeah.
And we all know McLaren over-engineers their cars to be super safe. And, you know.
Yeah, the car's badass. It looks cool.
Yeah. Wow. So it's pretty good.
I would have liked to have seen it in a more traditional paint. They did it in this beautiful blue, but it was like a satin blue. You know what? It was more of a, like a metallic blue, but when you do a satin clear coat or a satin mm-hmm. wrap over it, it's cool because it looks dull in some versions. It looks kind of flat, but because of there's some metallic in it, you can see the light kind of shining off of some of those things. So it has a weird sort of
could have also been there again. The fact that it's a prototype,
yeah,
finishing the body in that is easier than a high gloss.
Yeah, it looks like it.
That's why they don't
really
come in black.
Keeps fingerprints, but
anyway,
so, moving
cool event.
On.
Wish I could have gone; would have been nice. But you know what? Another smart thing is, Matt.
Yeah,
it's I think having insurance on a car like that.
Geico, listen, you guys rent a home, you own a home. Either way, I'm sure it's a lot of hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling your insurance, bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners and renters insurance along with your auto policy. Policy. it's a good thing. Listen, you already got a lot of stuff to do around your home already. Just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Bundle your home and auto insurance.
You know what? I do have a lot to do around my home. Will they come by and help me with my pool cleaning and stuff like that, too, if I buy a policy?
I just want to know from Matt.
I'm going to say yes. Yes, Brad. Buy the policy. Let's see what happens.
Okay.
On your sunglasses, on the corners of these new Oakley glasses you have, are these spotlights or are these cameras?
No, but you know what's cool about these? Although nobody can see them.
Do they whistle when you drive convertibles?
If you undo that circle and that circle with a tool, the whole things break apart.
Oh,
just
those
one piece
really
and they all
cool.
come apart. It's almost like McLaren designed them.
Wow. It's like, so these
those,
are...
Those are pretty cool, man.
But why did you call them ugly sunglasses?
I didn't. I was just making a
You said you're ugly sunglasses.
Your face is ugly.
Well, they're supposed to be...
Oh, Oakley sunglasses.
They're supposed to
Oakley.
Be an improvement.
So it's like a new way of doing clip-ons. Matt's wearing clip-ons.
Yeah. Sort of, but nothing at all.
Also dry.
Well, no, it is kind of, because it's got the thing like those old clip-ons. I had a pair of those,
yeah.
Of course you did.
So
back when you're bracking your Ferrari 348 days.
You know what, Brad? Those actually kind of work. You know, those are a little flat. These new flat lenses on glasses, I hate them.
Yeah?
And why do you hate them here on Sunglass Talk?
Because they look cheap.
Are you angry, bro?
They look cheap. I am angry.
Are you angry, bro?
Since you brought up sunglasses, I will talk about that Circle B. The Circle B brand is soon to come out with some sunglasses.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, our first ones. I've been wearing the prototypes for a while.
Please don't tell me they're wraparounds.
No, they're not. No, you know the ones I've been wearing?
Simple. The blue lens ones?
Yeah, blue, green, yellow, and clear.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. So, that's neat.
You know, fantasy colors.
Yeah.
My life looks like
right,
a fantasy.
Enough giving me shit on my sunglasses.
No rose-colored glasses, though.
They're actually
what,
pretty cool.
Do you know what the problem with rose-colored glasses is? You cannot tell what color the light is.
Yeah.
I had a pair. We tested a pair, and I could not believe you cannot tell a yellow from a red from a green.
Oh, interesting.
And I know you know which one's which, but when you're looking at it, they all look the same.
Wow.
So it's not good for a car guy.
No, definitely not.
No, not a lot of.
I love your pink Rubicon.
If you're Jack Nicholson at a basketball game, you can wear them.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, a lot of the celebrities wear those pink.
Yeah.
Kind of.
By the way,
rose colored.
Because life is better through rose colored glasses.
McLaren Elva is all about the high-end car collector, not the celebrity owner on this one, because it's just so exposed. You're just in a roadster when you're no windshield and everybody sees your leg. And it'd be goofy to drive that car with a helmet on. with a full face helmet, you know, because then what?
The celebrity guy goes, I want to get one of those, but can you tint the windows?
Yeah, right? Yeah, like first we need to install windows. I'm
Had
sure.
Some really dark glasses. There you go.
I'm sure there's, you know, you could, you can get the, you know, West Coast custom guys to add side glass and tinted windows if you really wanted to.
They just put – they weld a trailer hitch under each side, and you have these things that just slide in, and there's, like, tinted glass.
That's Pimp My Ride, dude.
Yeah. I'm sure you can do that. Have you guys heard of the Toyota Supra?
I have. They've been selling at auction really strong. The old ones, that's an old car that Toyota did. Didn't really like those, actually, a whole lot.
Really?
I'm serious. Those rounded, egg-shaped Supras were never one of my favorites, and I'm like, why are people paying so much money for them?
I liked the RX-7 back then. The RX-7 was I never liked the Supras.
Now, I just before you get into that, bring a trailer.
Yeah.
On Thursday, did you see it? The 240Z?
Yeah, no, we basically, Adam and I did a live car cast as it was happening.
Oh, okay.
And the whole show, we're like, well, we're going to kick off the car cast, so we got this crazy 240Z. It's over $100,000.
Oh, no, I missed
it. And then throughout the show, it's $150,000. Oh, it's $210,000. It sells for $310,000.
$310,000.
You throw in the extra $5,000 for the VIG, you're $315,000.
For a 21,000-mile 240Z.
Wow. Stock.
That's
just
crazy.
Preserved.
Yeah.
By the way, that's not 300 miles. That's 21,000 miles.
Yeah.
And that's not Ring Brothers built it. That's stock.
And that's not 21,000 miles on a car that was built in today. 21,000 miles. Remember, everyone, that in the 70s, a car that had 100,000 miles was literally falling apart.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like I mean, now your first tune-up's at 100,000.
It's a beautiful green, almost a British racing green with sort of a tan, you know, tan interior. It was a great color.
It was from San Diego, wasn't it?
It was a
non-smoker's car, obviously.
Beautiful car, well documented, good stuff.
Wow.
But look, of course, that's the best day ever for Corolla
because
he's sitting there going, no, he's like, hey, if a bone stock 240Z with 21,000 miles go for, what is the very first BRE Roadster worth?
$310,000.
Right? $31,000.
Wow. That's like the guy on the internet this week also that was watches, and we know car guys are into watches, that some guy brought his watch to Antiques Roadshow, and this dude's like the total, like, 70s hippie dude. He's got long hair. He's got a headband on. And he was talking about how he bought this at the PX. He made $400 a month, and it cost him $345 with his PX discount. And he got it because he was in the Air Force, and all the pilots were wearing them. And he goes, but then I felt like, man, I get so much money into this. I'm not going to – so I'm just going to put it in my safety deposit box. He literally never wore it. So he had the original receipt. He had the box, the paperwork, the outer box. It even had the foil thing on the back of the case and everything.
Whoa.
It was a Daytona with screw down. I should know this. I'm a watch guy.
We're waiting because you're a watch guy.
The knurled crowns. The crowns had screw down, which is even rarer. And they said you could get about $700,000 for this auction. And the guy literally fell down. He was like, are you kidding me? You know, and he's
sold.
Like,
they're like pesos, not dollars.
No, they said $400,000 to $500,000 easy, but because of the rarity, because of its
and the condition,
he goes literally had never been worn. He goes, this is new old stock. I mean, it still had the price tag hanging from it, you know, and it was like, and so they said $700,000, and the guy's like, no way, you know,
impressive.
So
yeah, you never know. So 240Z, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
So anyways, Supra. Bright lemon yellow.
Yes. Before you mentioned old Supra. Is it just me or let's just take away the name and the legacy and what it means. It looks a lot like the GTO from a few years ago, the Holden / GTO.
Which one does?
The Supra, like the shape you're
the
saying.
The new Supra or the old Supra?
No, the old Supra that you're talking about.
Okay. The 80s or the Fast and Furious car, yeah.
kind of has that GTO.
A little bit, yeah, a little flattened, but yeah.
Yeah, like not a lot going on the sides, right? But kind of a swoopy nose, and yeah, just.
And I never dug that spoiler, man. It just looked like they went, yeah, we got to put some, let's just put some, okay, yeah, just make it round.
But we all got some styrene.
Yeah.
We also like cars for what they represent. Like, I wouldn't say when the Nissan GTR came out, people were like, that's the best looking car I've ever seen in my life. But you look at it and you're like, that car's badass. I know what that car is, and I know how it can perform, and I like that Nissan's doing it, and then it's the coolest car ever. And I just remember driving around early press cars of that thing and just going through, like, you know, Santa Monica and Beverly Hills and a lot of walk streets and stuff, and you just see, like, you know, you see, like, a young guy and his girlfriend or wife walking, and he's, like, jamming her with his elbow going, you know what that is? It's a Supra. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. What, you mean that Honda? That Nissan? Like, what are you talking about? And he's like, no, no, no. Or that's the new GTR. And she's like, I'm not seeing what you're seeing here. He's like, it just went by. She's like, she's looking for an Aventador or something to go by. It just didn't really do it. But we love those cars, and they got more and more insane over the years. And you get to drive them, you see how cool they are. But anyway, so Toyota Supra, they sent me a bright yellow one. Don't love the color.
Oh, hey, did it have a wide body kit?
It did not have a wide body kit. It didn't have a. It didn't have a Rutledge wood treatment on it.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, was this an M series?
Yes, a lot of BMW jokes.
The BMW looks. We saw one yesterday. They're pretty good looking, man.
They are good.
I think better looking than you know.
Maybe, but the BMW Z4 won't pull the attention that the Supra does.
No,
every
no.
time I'm in a gas station, people are like, that's a new Supra. Yeah. That's a new Supra.
It does look
no one's
going
to pull up at a
Z4. No, when you pull up in there, they go, that's a new BMW. Yeah. Yeah.
No one's like, is that the new Z4? That thing's amazing. You know?
Z4.
Yeah.
Z4. Yeah, there you go.
It's a good, proper sports car.
Yeah.
You know, the luck and the advantage to be able to drive some crazy cars. I don't know, NSX we've been in.
Yeah, NSX, 720S. I mean, McLaren's, you just keep going.
Stuff.
Yeah.
And then you start to forget. You're like, well, what is a good, you know, sports car feel like? And, you know, we'll jump into like a Mustang Bullitt or something, and a little more muscle car category than sports car category,
right,
especially when the cars are coming in at, you know, 3,900 pounds. I think the Challenger Red Eye is 4,500 pounds.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, right? Yeah, they're weighty.
You know, that's a big car. And a Supra, I got in and I was like, gosh, it's kind of small. But I'm like, you know, it is a good sports car. It's like 3,300 pounds, a little less than 3,300 pounds. 0 to 60, you know, depending on who's testing it, falls anywhere from a 3.8 to 4.2 range.
That's, you know, decent.
It's quick, and that's still stock. The transmission is fantastic, that ZF transmission. The motor seems great. Transmission seems great. It seems to find all the right, you know, sweet spots. Handles good. I don't know that Toyota was able to do much with the car other than the styling and maybe some possible sound tuning, but it sounds pretty good. Again, it's based off of so much BMW.
There's no synthetic sound.
No, that's what I'm saying. So as I'm driving it, and I put it into sport mode, I'm like, I don't know if an exhaust valve opened or the stereo changed, because I'm pretty sure it all pipes in through this. So I'm rolling down the windows going, what does it sound like out there? And I'm driving around with Tamara's like, put your head out the window. Tell me what it sounds like.
You know? It's like it's going zin, zin.
You know, so it actually did sound pretty good. I went from, like, I don't know, like a big SUV to this thing. So the first two times I got in, I hit my head. And I was like, ow. And then you get used to it.
That's the sound it makes.
Yeah. But it scoots around good. It definitely got a lot of attention.
How was the interior?
It's
fit and finish, quality,
you
touch.
Know, it's fine. It seems
in its price scale?
Yeah, well, you know, this car, they, you know, had a couple options in the big stereo and had the carbon fiber caps on the mirrors and all that stuff. It came in at $58,000.
Wow.
That's a lot.
You know, and I think on the low end, they're in the low 50s, right? So, you know, $58,000, it kind of puts it in a
weird.
Puts
it against a lot of stuff.
It does. Yeah. And I know they're going after Porsche Cayman, But Porsche Cayman is arguably more money because nobody orders a Porsche Cayman stripped, right?
They don't. And I think it's a – I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it seems like a different buyer, you know?
Yeah, well, the finishes on a Cayman are totally different.
No, but it does have a little bit of a European feel to it. Like, when you get in it, it's very much BMW. The gauge cluster, the digital gauges feel Toyota to me. But then the infotainment is straight up BMW, the iDrive deal, the shifter, the transmission, you know, even some of the materials that I touched on the inside just feel like a BMW to me. And that's not a bad thing.
No, that's not good. I got to hand it to the Germans, man. They really got that down. That's my big issue with my 2013 Mini Cooper is that everything I touch does not feel good. The steering wheel feels decent.
Yeah.
Literally, that's it. Every knob, every switch, every surface, door panels, a dash, everything rattles and squeaks, and you can move it when you touch it. And everything, and that's BMW.
And you don't need to do it that way.
But the build quality is horrible.
Even on lesser expensive cars, you know, where, you know, the Mustangs and stuff, they're like, oh, we're doing soft touch, at least on the dash. Yeah. Or it has, it doesn't have like stitched leather, but it has a simulated stitching and has a soft touch to it. And it does something for it. It feels a little bit better. So I thought the car was good. I thought it was fun. Some people complained about visibility, but I don't use my mirrors.
You know
anyway.
What? When you drive a cool Batmobile car, visibility should not be a factor. As long as you can see out, straight, maybe out of the side windows.
It would be. That was 335 horse, and it's got launch control, and it would be an interesting to drive. Huh. Realistically, a 375-380 horsepower version. You know, not take the whole thing apart, but a tune, some exhaust, give it a little
wide body.
Yeah, maybe wide body.
I got to say,
I don't know what that does to the ride quality. It's already got a staggered 255 front, 275 in the rear. It's got some tire on it.
I got to say, though, you see them in person, because we saw a bunch at SEMA. You see them in person normally, and you're like, you know what? It's actually a nice-looking car. And you see the wide body one, you're like, come on. and then you do another round, and you're like, yeah, it's growing on me. And by the third one, you're like, I can't see it any differently now. I got to say, okay, man, I
now,
get it.
for a sports car, for as long as it is, or rather how short it is, it is the widest sports car of that wheelbase.
Really?
Wow. So it has the widest track for a car.
So it's wider than a Miata.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm trying to think what else is in that base.
But you're right. Like, what do you buy? You go buy a Mustang, which is less. You go get a Mustang Bullitt for $52,000, something like that. And it sounds good and it's fast.
Yeah.
Right? Or you think, hey, the Supra's $58,000. Do you get a new Corvette? Do you get a C8 Corvette?
Yeah.
You don't really. Because
the C8's kind of small, isn't it?
No, the C8's big.
Oh, is it? The C8's big, and it's wider than that car.
Yeah. It looks small in the photos, man.
But you're talking plain, no options, not even delivery, $60,000. You throw a few options into it, you're like $80,000, really, right? Wow. So it's not really the same thing. And I kind of feel like a Cayman S is probably in that range, right? Yeah. Like, when you... You've seen Porsches, you guys. Everybody's gone to the Porsche website, at least did the configure. And you're like,
we've all done
it's a Cayman, is only this much money. We're like, yeah, but seats and carpets and a stereo and a key.
I want that clock on the dash.
You're like, I just added $27,000 of options.
I like that color. That's $5,000 more. Yeah. Oh, crap.
Yeah. You start reading about how Porsches are the most profitable cars out there, like, other than an F-150, like, across the board, they're like, on average, we make $31,000 per car.
Oh,
like,
you wanted center caps. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh, by the way, do you want them full color, body color, polished, you know, whatever it is, everything costs extra.
Oh, you want the cloisonne? That's another $30,000.
If you want the badges taken off the car, you could pay extra for model delete.
Look at all the additions that are basically like delete stereo, delete AC, delete things you really want, and they're $40,000 more.
It's that little piece they have to put in there.
No door panels, no door pulls, you know, no manual windows.
Everything costs money.
We should start a service. Bring your Porsches over, and we'll delete stuff for you.
Right?
Basically, it comes to, you want my guy to stop on the line and not put that in? It's going to cost you.
Anyway, it's a fun car. If you, for me, we've had these discussions. We talked about it on CarCast as well. What is the BMW partnership with Toyota do to the legacy of the Supra nameplate?
Yeah.
And what does it do to future collectability and whatever? So that's a whole nother
discussion. It's changed so much, that dynamic, because when you think the Japanese would have never, you know, oh, no, yeah, we build our own cars, you know.
That's a different discussion. But
yeah, your allies of World War II.
Is it a good car? I think it's a fantastic sports car, yeah, and it was a lot of fun to drive. Well, and just cool, based on those merits, look, if you want to just have some fun with it, maybe you don't buy it. Maybe you don't want to modify it. Maybe you go lease it, then you have some fun with it.
I'd just like to have a press car, but they won't send me any. So,
you know, I have to say,
it's on the list for like a year to get that.
I know. They, well, I can't even get a Corolla. What are you talking about? They called me, and they were like, you know, yeah, what are you looking for? I go, well, I'd like to drive a Supra and a Lexus. And they're like, oh, well, good. So are other people.
But, you know, as far as the collaborations, everybody's doing it. I mean, it's just part of, you know, doing business these days. Look at Jeep. I mean, Jeep and Fiat, you know. And
if everyone was jumping off a bridge, Aaron, would you do it?
I would consider. I would say, how much better is the view?
It's a very nice transition, because we'd like to announce that we are combining with Ladies Home Journal, and it's going to be the new Shift and Steer Ladies Knitting Channel.
Oh, good. So we get to wear colors.
Speaking of which, hey, let's wrap this show up with one of the biggest discussion points that came out this week.
Already?
That Barrett Jackson, as of Palm Beach, will no longer be on Motor Trend.
Whoa. No.
And I think this, this is just my opinion. Who cares? But that's what people tune in for, is our opinions. I think that's a big mistake for Motor Trend. Yeah. They're making a lot of changes. We experienced that when we go there to pitch TV shows and like that, and they're making a lot of changes with their programming. This is a huge part of their programming, and one that they used to promote their shows, promote their, you know, their show celebrities and things like that. And here they're just, I mean, they walked away, man.
Yeah,
bam.
That's nuts.
Motor Trend was Barrett Jackson, but they're going to go to A&E, which will be History and, is it FYI or DYI?
I think FYI.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoa. So History Channel will be getting all, I think, not just Scottsdale. I think they're going to.
Yeah.
I think they're going to start doing broadcasts of all the auctions.
Yes, they're doing all the auctions, and they start with Palm Beach. Then they're going to produce ancillary programming on History Channel, mm-hmm, for their Saturday morning block that's going to be kind of related to Barrett Jackson. And then FYI is doing prime time programming of other Barrett Jackson type stuff.
Where are these decisions being made? You know, it's interesting because Dad's channel Access, you know, mm-hmm, we had something going with Access too.
Yeah, Mark Cuban sold controlling interest to Tyler Perry over there.
Yeah, so what is it going to now? It's basically becoming kind of a sports channel from what I hear. It's like,
well, I actually just had a discussion with them about some programming,
yeah,
and they're expanding, you know, because didn't know with Tyler Perry buying it what was going to happen.
Yeah.
But they're getting away from the roots of classic rock. They're going to open it up to they told me they want programming for country and western, urban, and rock.
Well, let's guess what's going to, favor on that one.
So probably country and western. You're right.
Yeah.
So, but they want more.
There's a bit of a conflict, yeah, there, I think.
The country or the western? Which,
yeah,
one's the conflict?
Yeah, yeah. You don't combine country and western anymore.
What the hell's going on over there?
What is wrong with you? My mother is western, okay? Yeah. Toby is country.
But yeah, but it just shows it's happening everywhere. Everything's, yeah, kind of in a flux. But what do you guys think about that? I mean, you got kind of used to Motor Trend. And
I think it's a perfectly fine move for Barrett Jackson.
Oh, well, it's always good for them. Yeah. This is their fourth network move, and they've gotten better each time.
Yeah.
So,
well,
I don't think they're worried about
it. They've proven themselves as an asset for it. They can draw, mm-hmm, a crowd. And I don't know. I mean, if it depends on what Motor Trend fills the time with. If it's more fast and loud, then I'm going to be watching History Channel.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I mean, I'm not a huge TV guy. I don't watch all that stuff in general. But I got to say, someone like me can't make sense of it all. It's just like, you know what? This is why I don't watch TV, because it is. It's just this weird back and forth yet incestuous just kind of thing that I just don't want to, I don't know.
It's what happens when both country and western get together.
Yeah. Well, they said that they...
Well, they had to separate their cousins from
They now. Said that, what was it, 60 hours of programming that Barrett Jackson filled, 30 hours they're bringing back Fat and Furious, and they're bringing those guys
on
back.
On the Leisure Channel. Yeah. fat and frustrated on the Leisure Channel.
So, but anyways, so it's going to be interesting. Hey, you guys, go ahead and hit us up on Twitter or on you know, Facebook or one of those, and tell us what you think about Motor Trend. You know, letting you know, you guys been following that Barrett Jackson. A lot of people follow it, love it. What do you think? Do you think it's going to be good? Do you think it's bad? Because
do you not care?
Yeah. Do you not care? It's like, eh, whatever. I can watch it wherever. Yeah, but
as long as I can watch it.
Yeah. So
interesting.
And let us know. And you can also find us where, Matt?
Let's see. There's a few places you could check
out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If the reflection's not too much.
Yeah. Go to shiftandsteer.com. And, of course, we're on iTunes. And I don't know if it's we're saying this now or not, but
we're moving to we're moving to History Channel.
History Channel, you can't find us on Motor Trend TV.
Yeah.
Or the History Channel.
Actually, you'll find me on Motor Trend TV soon.
I believe all of the Podcast One shows are going to be on Spotify as well, so you can listen to Spotify.
I am a Spotify guy, so.
And then all of our social media, you can see pictures of the Elva, and you can see pictures of
the Hetfield and all the
Brad's
stuff.
Of Brad's vulva.
Ew.
No. It's just wrong.
Is that Elva?
But, all right, everybody. Hey, follow us on social media. I'm at Bradley_Fanch on Instagram. Aaron's laughing. Just look up Aaron Laughs.
I had caffeine today. I never drink caffeine.
Matt's at Motorator.com and at Motorator. And Murphy the dog doesn't have any
good,
social
Brad.
Media. He was good. Just slept.
He found a little spot of sun on the floor
by my
foot.
He loves the sun.
He's
screaming.
Let's see how he is with posing with cars in the future. We'll see how that works.
Yeah, because, boy, that shot on the – oh, I want to do a painting of that.
Which one?
The one, the last one of George with the sun behind
him. With the sun on the tailgate of the Range Rover?
Yeah.
Yeah, he. That was a good shot of him.
That was a good shot.
But, all right, guys. Hey, this is Shift and Stare. We're over. We're out. Over and out. Roger that.
I came all the way to L.A. for one show. Really?
One show, man. But it was a hell of a good show.
It was a good show.
All right, everybody. Thanks.
All right.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.